my side, you whom the gods have made preservers of my throne. Oh, it's my heart that the poor soldier that so richly fought, whose ragged, shamed, gilded arms, whose naked breast stepped before targets of proof, cannot be found. He shall be a happy man that can find him, if our grace can make him so.
I never saw such noble fury in so poor a thing. Such precious deeds in one promise is not with beggary and poor looks.
No tidings of him.
He hath been searched among the dead and living, but no trace of him.
To my grief, I am the heir of his reward, which I will add to you, Morgan, Polydor, Cadwal, the liver, heart, and brain of Britain, by whom I grant she lives. 'Tis now the time to ask of whence you are. Report it.
Sir, in Cambria are we born, and gentlemen. Further to boast, we're neither true nor modest, unless I add, we are honest.
Arise, my knights of the battle. I create you companions to our person, and will fit you with dignities becoming your estates. There's business in these faces. Why so sadly greet you our victory? You look like Romans, not of the court of Britain.
Hail, great king. To sour your happiness, I must report the queen is dead.
Worse than a physician would this report become. But I consider by medicine life may be prolonged, yet death will seize the doctor too. How ended she?
With horror, madly dying like her life, which, being cruel to the world, concluded most cruel to herself. What she confessed, I will report, so please you. These her women can trip me if I err, who with wet cheeks were present when she finished.
Prithee say.
First, she confessed she never loved you. Only affected greatness got by you, not you. Married your royalty, was wife to your place, aboard your person.
She alone knew this. But she spoke it dying, I would not believe her lips in opening. Proceed.
Your daughter, whom she bore in hand to love, with such integrity, she did confess, was a scorpion to her sight, whose life, but that her flight prevented it, she had taken off by poison.
Oh, most delicate fiend. Who can read a woman? Is there more?
More, sir, and worse. She did confess she had for you a mortal mineral, which, being took, should by the minute feed on life and, lingering by inches, waste you, in which time she purposed, by watching, weeping, tendance, kissing, to overcome you with her show, and in time, when she had fitted you with her craft, to work her son into the adoption of the crown. But, failing of her end by his strange absence, grew shameless, desperate, opened, in despite of heaven and men, her purposes, repented the evils she hatched were not effected, so despairing, died.
Mine eyes were not in fault. She was beautiful. Mine ears that heard her flattery, nor my heart that thought her like her seeming. It had been vicious to have mistrusted her. Yet, oh, my daughter, that it was folly in me, thou mayst say and prove it in thy feeling. Heaven mend all.
Caius, thou comest not now for tribute that the Britons have raised out, though with the loss of many a bold one, whose kinsmen have made suit that their good souls may be appeased with slaughter of you, their captives, which ourself have granted. So, think of your estate.
Consider, sir, the chance of war. The day was yours by accident. Had it gone with us, we should not, when the blood was cool, have threatened our prisoners with the sword. But since the gods will have it thus, that nothing but our lives may be called ransom, let it come. Sufficeth, a Roman with a Roman's heart can suffer. Augustus lives to think on it. And so much for my peculiar care. This one thing only I will entreat. My boy, a Briton born, let him be ransomed. Never master had a page so kind, so duteous, diligent, true, so feat, so nurse-like. Let his virtue join with my request, which I make bold your highness cannot deny. He hath done no Briton harm, though he has served a Roman. Save him, sir, and spare no blood beside.
I have surely seen him. His favor is familiar to me.
Boy, thou hast looked thyself into my grace and art mine own.
I know not why, wherefore, to say live, boy. Ne'er thank thy master. Live, and ask of Cymbeline what boon thou wilt. Fitting my bounty and thy state, I'll give it. Yea,
Though thou do demand a prisoner, the noblest Tain.
I humbly thank your highness.
I do not bid thee beg my life, good lad, and yet I know thou wilt.
No, no. Alack, there's other work in hand. I see a thing bitter to me as death. Your life, good master, must shuffle for itself.
The boy disdains me? He leaves me, scorns me? Briefly, die their joys that place them on the truth of girls and boys. Why stands he so perplexed?
What wouldst thou, boy? I love thee more and more. Think more and more. What's best to ask? Know'st him thou look'st on? Speak. Wilt have him live? Is he thy kin? Thy friend?
He is a Roman. No more kin to me than I to your highness, who, being born your vassal, am something nearer.
Wherefore iced him so?
I'll tell you, sir, in private, if you please to give me hearing.
Aye, with all my heart. And lend my best attention. What's thy name?
Videl, sir.
Thou'rt my good youth. My page. I'll be thy master. Walk with me. Speak freely.
Is not this boy revived from death?
One sand another not more resembles that sweet, rosy lad who died and was Videl. What think you?
The same dead thing alive.
Peace, peace. See further. He eyes us not. Forbear. Creatures may be alike, were it he. I'm sure he would have spoke to us.
But we saw him dead.
Be silent. Let's see further.
It is my mistress. Since she is living, let the time run on, to good or bad.
Come, stand thou by our side. Make thy demand aloud.
Sir,
step you forth. Give answer to this boy, and do it freely. For by our greatness and the grace of it, which is our honor, bitter torture shall winnow the truth from falsehood. On.
My boon is that this gentleman may render of whom he had this ring.
What's that to him?
That diamond upon your finger. Say, how came it yours?
Thou torture me to leave unspoken that which, to be spoke, would torture thee.
How? Me?
I am glad to be constrained to utter that which torments me to conceal. By villainy I got this ring. 'Twas Leonatus's jewel, whom thou didst banish, and, which more may grieve thee, as it doth me, a nobler sir ne'er lived twixt sky and ground. Wilt thou hear more, my lord?
All that belongs to this.
That paragon, thy daughter, for whom my heart drops blood and my false spirits quail to remember. Give me leave, I faint.
My daughter? What of her? Renew thy strength. I had rather thou shouldst live while nature will than die ere I hear more. Strive, man, and speak.
Upon a time, unhappy was the clock that struck the hour. 'Twas in Rome. 'Twas at a feast. Oh, would our viands had been poisoned, or at least those which I heaved to head. The good Posthumus, what should I say? He is too good to be where ill men were. Was the best of all amongst the rarest of good ones. Sitting sadly, hearing us praise our loves of Italy for beauty that made barren the swelled boast of him that could speak. For feature, laming the shrine of Venus, or straight pite Minerva, postures beyond brief nature for condition, a shop of all the qualities that man loves woman for, besides that hook of wiving, fairness which strikes the eye.
I stand on fire. Come to the matter.
All too soon I shall, unless thou wouldst grieve quickly. This Posthumus, most like a noble lord in love and one that had a royal lover, took his hint, and not disapproving whom we praised, therein he was as calm as virtue, he began his mistress's picture, which by his tongue being made, and then a mind put it, either our brags were cracked of kitchen trolls, or his description proved us unspeaking sots.
To the purpose!
Your daughter's chastity, there it begins. He spake of her, as Dian had hot dreams, and she alone were cold, whereat I, wretch, made scruple of his praise, and wagered with him pieces of gold against this which he wore upon his honored finger, to attain in suit the place of sped and win this ring by hers and mine adultery. He, true knight, no lesser of her honor confident than I did truly find her, stakes this ring, and would so, had it been a carbuncle of Phoebus's wheel, and might so safely, had it been all the worse of car, away to Britain, post I in this design. Well, you may, sir, remember me at court, where I was taught of your chaste daughter the wide difference twixt amorous and villainous. Being thus quenched of hope, not longing, mine Italian brain gan in your duller Britain operate most vilely for my vantage, excellent. And, to be brief, my practice so prevailed that I returned with similar proof enough to make the noble Leonatus mad, by wounding his belief in her renown with tokens thus and thus, averting notes of chamber hangings, pictures, this, her bracelet, ho, cunning how I got it, nay, some marks of secret on her person, that he could not but think of her bond of chastity quite cracked, I, having ta'en the forfeit. Whereupon, methinks I see him now.
Aye, so thou dost, Italian fiend!
Aye, me, most credulous fool, egregious murderer, thief, anything that's due to all the villains past and being to come! Oh, give me cord or knife or poison, some upright justicer! Thou, king, send out for torturers ingenious. It is I that all the abhorred things of the earth amend by being worse than they. I am Posthumus, that killed thy daughter. Villain-like, I lie, that caused a lesser villain than myself, a sacrilegious thief, to do it. The temple of virtue was she, yea, and she herself spit and throw stones, cast mire upon me, set the dogs of the streets obey me. Every villain be called Posthumus Leonatus, and be villainy less than 'twas. O Imogen, my queen, my life, my wife! O Imogen, Imogen, Imogen!
Peace, my lord, hear, hear.
Shalt have a play of this, thou scornful page, here lie thy part.
Oh!
Oh, gentlemen, help! Mine and your mistress! Oh, my lord, Posthumus, you never killed Imogen till now! Help, help, oh, mine honored lady!
Does the world go round?
How come these staggers on
Awake,
me?
Awake, my mistress!
If this be so, the gods do mean to strike me to death with mortal jaw.
How fares my mistress?
Oh, get thee from my sight. What? Thou gavest me poison. Dangerous fellow, hence, breathe not where princes are.
The tune of Imogen.
Lady, the gods throw stones of sulfur on me if that box I gave you was not thought by me a precious thing. I had it from the queen.
No matter still.
It poisoned me.
Oh, 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 gods. I left out one thing which the queen confessed, which must have proved thee honest. If Pisanio have, said she, given his mistress that confection, which I gave him for cordial, she is served as I would serve a rat.
What's this, Cornelius?
The queen, sir, very oft importuned me to temper poisons for her, still pretending the satisfaction of her knowledge, only in killing creatures vile as cats and dogs, of no esteem. I, dreading that her purpose was of more danger, did compound for her a certain stuff, which, being taken, would cease the present power of life. But in short time, all offices of nature should again do their due functions. Have you taken of it?
Most like I did, for I was dead.
My boys, there was our error.
This is sure Fidel.
Why did you throw your wedded lady from you? Think that you are upon a rock and outthrow me again.
Hang there like a fruit, my soul, till the tree die.
Oh, no, my flesh, my child. What makes thou me a dullard in this act? Wilt thou not speak to me?
Your blessing, sir.
Guiderius and Iveragus, though you did love this youth, I blame ye not. You had a motive for it.
My tears that fall prove holy water on thee, Imogen. Thy mother's dead.
I am sorry for it, my lord.
Oh, she was nought, and long of her it was that we meet here so strangely. But her son is gone. We know not how nor where.
My lord, now fear is from me. I'll speak troth. Lord Cloten, upon my lady's missing, came to me with his sword drawn, foamed at the mouth, and swore if I discovered not which way she was gone, it was my instant death. By accident, I had a feigned letter of my master's then in my pocket, which directed him to seek her on the mountains near to Milford, where, in a frenzy, in my master's garments, which he enforced from me, away he posts, with unchaste purpose and with oath to violate my lady's honor. What became of him, I further know not.
Let me end the story. I slew him there.
Marry, the gods forfend. I would not thy good deeds should from my lips pluck a barred sentence. Prithee, valiant youth, deny it again.
I have spoke it, and I did it.
He was a prince!
A most incivil one. The wrongs he did me were nothing prince-like. For he did provoke me with language that would make me spurn the sea, if it could so roar to me. I cut off his head, and am right glad he is not standing here to tell this tale of mine.
I am sorry for thee. By thine own tongue thou art condemned, and must endure our law. Thou art dead.
That headless man I thought had been my lord.
Find the offender and take him from our presence.
Stay, Sir King. This man is better than the man he slew, as well descended as thyself, and hath more of thee merited than a band of Clotons that had ever scar for. Guard, let his arms alone. They were not born for bondage.
My old soldier, what? Wilt thou undo the worth thou art unpaid for by tasting of our wrath?
thou of descent as good as we?
In that he spake too far.
And thou shalt die for it.
We will die all three. But I will prove that two arms are as good as I have given out him. My sons, I must, for mine own part, unfold a dangerous speech, though haply, well for you.
Your danger's ours.
And our good his.
Have at it, then. Thou hadst, great king, a subject who was called Belarius.
What of him? He is a banished traitor.
He it is, hath assumed this cage, indeed a banished man. I know not how a traitor.
Take him hence. The whole world shall not save him.
Not too hot. First pay me for the nursing of thy sons, and let it be confiscate all soon as I have...
My sons!
Not!
I am too blunt and saucy. Here's my knee. Ere I arise, I will prefer my sons, and spare not the old father. Mighty sir, these two young gentlemen that call me father, and think they are my sons, are none of mine. They are the issue of your loins, my liege, and blood of your begetting.
My issue?
So sure as you, your fathers. I, old Morgan, am that Belarius whom you sometime banished. Your pleasure was my mere offense. My punishment itself, and all my treason that I suffered, was all the harm I did. These gentle princes were such, and so they are. These 20 years have I trained up. Those arts they have, as I could put into them, my breeding was, sir, as your highness knows. Their nurse, Eurypheli, whom for the theft I wedded, stole these children upon my banishment. I moved her to it, having received the punishment before for that which I did then. Beaten for loyalty, excited me to treason. Their dear loss, the more of you 'twas felt, the more it shaped unto my end of stealing them. But, gracious sir, here are your sons again, and I must lose two of the sweetest companions in the world. The benediction of these covering heavens fall on their heads like dew, for they are worthy to inlay heaven with stars.
Who weeps and speaks? The service that you three have done is more unlike than this thou tell'st. I lost my children. If these be they, I know not how to wish a pair of worthier sons.
Be pleased a while. This gentleman, whom I call Polydor, most worthy prince, as yours is true Guiderius. This gentleman, my Cadwal, Arviragus, your younger princely son. He, sir, was lapped in a most curious mantle, wrought by the hand of his queen mother, for more probation I can with ease produce.
Guiderius had upon his neck a mole, a sanguine star. It was a mark of wonder.
This is he, who hath upon him still that natural stamp. It was wise nature's end in the donation, to be his evidence now.
What? Am I a mother to the birth of three? Ne'er mother rejoiced deliverance more. Blessed pray you be, that after this strange starting from your orbs may reign in them now. O Imogen, thou hast lost by this a kingdom.
No, my lord, I have got two worlds by it. O my gentle brothers, have we thus met? O never say hereafter, but I am truest speaker. You called me brother when I was but your sister. I, you brothers, when ye were so indeed.
Did you have meat?
Aye, my good lord.
And at first meeting loved, continued so until we thought he died.
By the queen's dram she swallowed.
Rare instinct. When shall I hear it all through? This fierce abridgment hath to its circumstantial branches which distinction should be rich in. Where, how lived you? And when came you to serve our Roman captive? How parted with your brothers? How first met them? Why fled you from the court and whither? These and your three motives to the battle, with I know not how much more should be demanded, and all the other by dependencies, from chance to chance. But no other time nor place will serve our long interrogatories. See, Posthumus anchors upon Imogen, and she, like harmless lightning, throws her eye on him, her brother me, her master, hitting each object with a joy. The counterchange is severally in all. Let's quit this ground and smoke the temple with our sacrifices.
Thou art my brother, Bellarius. So we'll hold thee ever.
You were my father, too, and it relieved me to see this gracious season.
All o'erjoyed, save these in bonds. Let them be joyful, too, for they shall taste our comfort.
My good master, I will yet do you service.
Happy be you.
The forlorn soldier that so nobly fought. He would have well become this place, and graced the thankings of a king.
I am, sir, the soldier that did company these three in poor beseeming. 'Twas a fitment for the purpose I then followed. That I was he, speak, Iachimo. I had you down and might have made you finish.
I am kneeling down again. But now my heavy conscience sinks my knee, as then your force did. Take that life, beseech you, which I so often owe. But your ring first. And here, the bracelet of the truest princess that ever swore her faith.
Kneel not to me. The power I have on you is to spare you. The malice towards you to forgive you. Live and deal with others better.
Nobly doomed. We'll learn our freeness of a son-in-law. Pardon's the word for all.
You hope us, sir, as you did mean indeed to be our brother. Joyed are we that you are.
Your servant, princes. Good my lord of Rome, call forth your soothsayer. As I slept, methought great Jupiter upon his eagle-backed appeared to me, with other sprightly shows of mine own kindred. When I waked, I found this label on my bosom, whose containing is so from sense and hardness that I can make no collection of it. Let him show his skill in the construction.
Philharmonus?
Here, my good lord.
Read, and declare the meaning.
When as a lion's whelp shall, to himself unknown, without seeking find, and be embraced by a piece of tender air, and when from a stately cedar shall be lopped branches, which being dead many years, shall after revive, be jointed to the old stock and freshly grow, then shall Posthumus end his miseries, Britain be fortunate and flourish in peace and plenty. Thou, Leonatus, art the lion's whelp, the fit and apt construction of thy name, being Leonatus, doth import so much. Great king of Britain, the piece of tender air, thy virtuous daughter, which we call Molicere, and Molicere we term it Moliere, which Moliere I divine is this most constant wife, who, even now, answering the letter of the oracle, unknown to you, unsought, were clipped about with this most tender air.
This hath some seeming.
The lofty cedar, royal Cymbeline, personates thee, and thy lopped branches point thy two sons forth, who by Bellarius stolen, for many years thought dead, are now revived to the majestic cedar joined, whose issue promises Britain peace and plenty.
Well, my peace we will begin. And Caius Lucius, although the victor, we submit to Caesar and to the Roman Empire, promising to pay our wonted tribute, from the which we were dissuaded by our wicked queen, whom heaven's injustice, both on her and hers, have laid most heavy hand.
The fingers of the powers above do tune the harmony of this piece. The vision, which I made known to Lucius, ere the stroke of this yet scarce cold battle, at this instant is full accomplished. For the Roman eagle, from south to west on wing, soaring aloft, lessened herself, and in the beams of the sun so vanished, which foreshowed our princely eagle, the imperial Caesar, should again unite his favor with the radiant Cymbeline, which shines here in the west.
Laud we the gods, and let our crooked smokes climb to their nostrils from our blessed altars. Publish we this peace to all our subjects. Set we forward. Let a Roman and a British ensign wave friendly together, so through Ludstown march. And in the temple of great Jupiter our peace will ratify. Seal it with feasts set on there. Never was a war did cease ere bloody hands were washed with such a peace.
William Shakespeare's Cymbeline, the King of Britain, was directed by Jason Smirocco, with assistant director Christopher Allen. Featured in the cast were Christopher Allen as Cymbeline and the god Jupiter, Terry Arona Mazera as Imogen, Peter Daly as Posthumus, Nelson Niwa as Pisanio, Sean Holowaty as Plotin, Jenny McKillop as the Queen, Scott C. Bourgeois as Iachimo, Ron Gleason as Valerius and the Jailer, Stanley Wu as Guiderius and brother to Posthumus, Devon R. Bruce as Arviragus and brother to Posthumus, David Chapman as Caius Lucius and Filario, Shannon Joyce as Helen, Philharmonus and mother to Posthumus, and Lee Conrad as Dr. Cornelius and the Jailer. Musical direction, composition, and performance by Sean Holowaty. Performance coach to Ms. Mazera and Ms. McKillop was Jennifer Spencer. This is a Sounds of Shakespeare Radio Theater Company production.